Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Well, hello and welcome to this edition of your half-hour inspirational program. This is a component of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 30 minutes. Thank you so very much for tuning in with us tonight. It is my pleasure, it is my honor to bring you this weekly ministry each and every week, and I just want to go ahead and invite God into our midst and thank him for all his blessings. Father, we thank you, and as I prepare a thought for the people that are listening tonight, we pray that you will be with us and give us the glory, that we give you the glory, that is, and we thank you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. Well, tonight's topic, in case you missed us on last week, we're back with a topic that's very near and dear to my heart, and that is the topic of when you think about complaining. We had some very interesting thoughts on that one at our last meeting when we spoke to you on last week. When you think about complaining, you know, complaining is a very serious matter. It is. It really is. Complaining is a very serious matter, especially when it comes to complaining before the living God. I don't think God is very pleased with that. And if you look at the stories in the Bible, when it dealt with those that complained, you look at the children of Israel, they complained, and as a result of their complaining, many of them, I think it was only, if I'm not mistaken, only a few that made it in, perhaps two. And they were done away with, and I want you to go back and research that. I know that most of them that did the bickering and the complaining, they didn't make it into the kingdom, into the promised land. And so these are one of the things that I think God really gets annoyed with, is when you complain. And there's no reason really to complain. Last week I gave you a charge, and the charge was basically that when you think about complaining, go and write down 10 reasons why you should not complain. And as a matter of fact, someone held me to that. And said to me, because I thought I was venting, but they said, no, that's a complaint. And so with that, I had to go in and write down 10 things. Now, I didn't think that it was a complaint, but they said that it was. I thought it was just merely venting. But they had me go down and write down 10 things. And I don't mind sharing it with you because I think it's become very important. I had a doctor's visit, and I was talking about how much I hate going to the doctor. And I try not to make the program about me, but I want you to know that I'm not exempt. I'm human, subject to the things that go on with all of us humans. So I'm not exempt. I'm no better than you are. I have my issues, and I have my trust and faith that I put in God, just like I hope you do the same. And so it, just because I'm telling you about these things doesn't mean that it doesn't, that I'm not subject to them as well. But what it does is it lets me know that I have to still be on my knees. You know, even as a minister of the gospel, I still have to be on my knees. I have to realize that, you know, I want to maintain my humbleness, my humility. And, you know, as I went on to the doctor, I wrote down the 10 reasons. I thought I was venting, but anyway, I said, going to the doctor, if there's a condition, number one, there's, you know, you find out there's early detection. Number two, you know, you can have the companionship of someone going with you, like a spouse or a significant other. Number three, you get an education about something specifically that you may need to know about as a result of them running tests. And then number four, you can monitor the situation. If there's a situation where maybe your blood pressure has been elevated, once they determine the culture, some examinations, you can monitor the situation. Number five, you can alter your diet. Number six, you can increase your exercising. You know, and I think exercise is very important to keep our limbs and our joints and our the physical mobility of us in place. Number seven, you can stop complaining about going to the doctor or venting in my case, which I thought it was. Number eight, it gives you a better outlook on life. When you know that you may have caught something early enough, or when you know that you're getting an education about something, it gives you a better outlook on life, especially when it turns out to be good for you, a good health message that comes back to you. And then it gives you number nine. It gives you a better respect for health. It sure does give you that. And number 10, you can certainly incorporate the 8 laws of health that I've come to discover. And if you want to look for that, you can go in and Google 8 laws of health, 8 laws of health, and see what those are. And as a matter of fact, we'll give you those on next week's program, the 8 laws of health. So as a matter of fact, I'm going to walk and just get some fresh air. And that's one of them, sunshine and fresh air. That's important. You know, it's good if you have a companion that can go with you. But if not, then, you know, it's your health. You've got to do that to keep your life going. Companionship is always good, and we're going to have a broadcast on the importance of companionship and having the right companion in your life, you know, and the importance of doing things together, because God said it's not good that the man should be alone, and I will make him a helpmeet. And that becomes, I think that is so important. When you have a companionship and you're doing things together, it's wherever you are, you're home together, and I think that's important. So when you think about complaining, that is not a good thing. When you think about complaining, you know, you can find so many other people out there that are doing things that are uplifting. And I would certainly encourage you, find something out there that's uplifting. Find something out there that gives you a reason to say, you know what, God, you got a beautiful planet. I'm out now. I decided to come out and walk. So you may hear a little wind in the background. And it's like, this is a beautiful, God has a beautiful planet. And I can assure you, if you really got out more and you just look up, look into the heavens and realize how beautiful the heavens are. Look at the greenery. Look at the different colors. Look at the flowers. And you will soon discover that there is somewhere, somebody behind all of this. You can start to look at that and you will see there is something, someone behind all of this. And it becomes so beautiful. So beautiful. God gives us that. He is so wonderful to us. We have no reason to complain. We really don't. I mean, think about it for a moment. As you complain, let's say you're complaining about anything. Just write down five things that you would normally complain about. Now, ask yourself the question, do I have any power? Do I have any power to change any of those things that I'm complaining about? Any of those things that I'm complaining about. Do I hold or do I have any power to change any of these things? And if you answer yes to any of those, then I would strongly encourage you to change the things that you can change that will stop you from complaining. Because I believe it's offensive to God when you complain. I believe that there's a difference in venting versus complaining. But when you get together and you complain about everything, it's like there seems to be nothing is going right in your life. And who wants to be around people like that where they're constantly complaining, constantly bickering, constantly nagging? I mean, that's no fun. The story is told about a married couple that were married, dating. They started dating first, of course. And the man was a jubilant guy when they first met. The woman was well pleased with him, but she noticed that he complained about things, even on the date. As they would go out, he would always find something to complain about. And so she ignored this. She just thought, oh, he's probably got good reason to complain. So the couple went ahead. She decided to go ahead and marry the guy. And come to find out that this was his personality, to complain about everything. Whether the food was too hot, he complained. If it was too cold, he complained. Whether it was warm, too warm, he would complain. Or warm and not hot enough, or not cold enough, he complained. If the shower were, problems with shower, everything, he found reasons to complain, to complain, to complain. And so his wife and her love for him, she just tried to do everything that she could to make life bearable and doable for him and her as she wanted to make her marriage work. Well, the story goes on to tell us that this couple stayed together for more than 30 years. 30 years. But it was not without heartache. It was not without heartbreak. And the woman became the pillar of that family because even the children, they ended up having two girls and a son. And what happened was the children disconnected from their father because the father had this negative connotation. He had this negative attitude about life. And so as a result, the children didn't want to have anything to do with their father. But they loved their mother. And the mother would often ask the father, this man, her husband would complain. She would often just laugh it off. She would often just laugh it off and think nothing of it. And so that's what it was. And she would just often laugh it off. And that's how she found peace within her heart to cope with him because she loved him. She fell in love with him, and she took her vows seriously enough that she said, you know what, this is who he is, but I love him. People don't understand him, but I do. And let me tell you, his only true friend was his wife that stayed with him all those years, and she was not about to let him go. And you know, that man loved her because towards the latter years of their marriage, he realized that the couple never divorced, and they're still together this day. But towards as the marriage progressed, and in their later years of the marriage, it turns out that the man realized how anal he had become. He realized this, And, you know, he said, you know what? As a result of you staying with me so long, enduring my complaints, enduring all that I've taken you through, enduring the fact that staying with me, which has caused us to lose friendships with other couples, staying with me knowing that the children have distanced themselves against me, but they still show that they love you and they are not as bonded to me. This is a man now. He says, I really love you and I want to change. I want to make a change. So you see, sometimes, but I would venture to say, somewhere along the way, someone did not necessarily, maybe, take the initiative to let him know. And, you know, his wife, as she laughed things off, perhaps she enabled him. And I don't think that that's the route that we should take. Instead, I mean, I think we can show love in a different way, in a positive way. We can show love by letting people know that, you know what, God loves you. And you got a beautiful planet out here. I'm sure that wife did those things. You know, and finally she had to find peace. And her peace perhaps came from just laughing things off. Well, that may have worked for her. You know, that she kept her knit, her family closely knitted. And that may have worked for her. But that may not necessarily work for everyone. But, you know, I think that there could have been something greater done for him. And he could have been a witness to other people about God's love. And I believe that that's part of what the program is about for us as humans. Part of that program, in my opinion here, is we not only have the relationship or establish that relationship with God, but there also needs to be a need for us to have a fellowship with our fellow man. And that's, you know, and that's what the Bible commissions us on. And if, as you look into the Ten Commandments, those first four talks about a relationship with God. The next six, the relationship with your fellow man. And that becomes so important. It becomes twofold. And that's how we need to start looking at things. So when you start complaining, you know, complaining. And there was one important point that I meant to mention in that story. That man, over the years, developed, in the early years of their marriage, he developed chronic problems that were the, and I believe, and it was reported also, that they were the result of a great deal of stress that this man had encountered over the years, and it became progressively worse. And so when you're complaining, you know, you've heard the saying that, laughter is good for the soul. Laughter is good for the soul. Well, you know, I believe that that is so true. I believe that that is so important. And I'm thinking here now that as we laugh, you know, it's a good medicine to the bones. The Bible tells us that. And I think that that's what we have to get back to, is laughing, enjoying life, looking at the beauty in life. As opposed, you know, there are many of you all that are listening to this program that are married, single, have lost hope, have given up for whatever reason, and chances are it's been some human factor that has perhaps brought you to this point. It could be a human factor in terms of someone has upset you, someone has caused you to be distracted, someone has made you feel uncomfortable as a result of something they said or something that they've done, perhaps your spouse, and you're holding on to that anger, that pride, and you're rushing to get on the phone to perhaps call somebody and tell them how miserable you are, how offended you are. You're ready to complain about your significant other. Well, you realize, you fail to maybe realize that what you're putting out there is that bad energy, a spirit of evilness, if you're going to send a message out that has a negative connotation about your spouse. Because remember, when you're taking on that spouse and you've given those vows, it's bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. So you're dividing yourself. as you talk about your companion, your significant other. If you're going to do anything, lift them up. And if you're going through something that's so chronic, you know, take it to God. Take it to God, because I can assure you, God does, just like any parent, human parent as we know them, you don't want your kid going through anything miserable. You don't want them living in misery. God doesn't want you living in misery either. I don't care what anybody says. I don't see that. Now, that doesn't mean that because you can't always have your way. Doesn't mean that because you can't always have your way. It doesn't mean that you just abandon your marriage, you know, or your relationship. I don't think that that's where it is, because you know what? As you get involved in another relationship or another marriage, you're still taking you with yourself. And see, what happens is you're not, until you actually recognize the flaws that you bring to any relationship, you're only going to repeat these things. And sometimes it magnifies to become worse, because just like a spoiled child, unless those behaviors in that small child are corrected, they grow up to be a bigger child and then become a bigger boy or girl, adolescent, teenager, adult, and they still have characteristics of these same behaviors that they're spoiled rotten. And so it can make for a miserable husband or wife. It can make for a miserable father or mother, because that's what has happened. So we need correction in our lives. We really do. And the Bible even tells us, whom God loveth, he chastises. And that's what has to happen. We have to be corrected, because we can get it wrong. Even when we think we got it right, we can have it wrong. So I encourage those of you all that are listening under the sound of my voice, you know, make that situation right. If you've been complaining about your spouse, you've been complaining about your children, you know what? Just purpose in your heart. I'm going to love them in spite of, you know, how they've gotten on my nerves. You know, the Bible even tells us to pray for those that are even oppose us, that are against us. You know, there's some power in praying for other people, but meaning it, being genuine, being sincere in your prayers. There is something serious about this. And I believe that when we find the way to forgive, when we find the way to work it through, we start to feel better. You start to feel better, because think about it. If you're complaining and someone has offended you and you complain, or you've offended someone and you're complaining about that, let's say you have an argument with your significant other. Now you're complaining, and now as your voice starts to, the tone starts to escalate, and then that's going to bring a defense. The other party starts to escalate. Now it's an argument. What may have started out as a disagreement now turns into a big blown-out argument. Well, now our emotions, that adrenaline starts to flow, almost like the fight-flight situation. But it starts to flow. Now you become apprehensive. And now it's like, now you're mad. You're angry. You know, and it's like that defense mode comes into play. And now, you, at that moment, you're not liking your significant other. You just feel, okay, I love them, and you're not even thinking about love. That's the last thing on your mind. But you're at the same time, you're thinking, I really don't like this person right now. And it all started out perhaps over a simple disagreement. And then our emotions became so involved that what seemed to be a minor disagreement escalated into you almost feeling as though you hate the person, because there's no thought of, I love this person. You ever think about how much you love somebody when you're arguing with them? I don't think that those emotions are in the same place simultaneously, rather, when you're going through that. It's a love-hate. You know, at the same time, I just don't think that exists. And, you know, I say women as well as men as well as women, you need to, I would think that it becomes important that You don't just wait for that other one, your significant other, to be the one that make things right. And so I believe oftentimes we hear stories about women who they get angry and they hold on to this for days and months and weeks, you know, and time again. And I believe that you're bringing added stress to yourselves, to your lives. And, you know, and if you can sit down and you can talk this thing through, and if you can get a third party, like a professional counselor to help you all to make it through this crisis or this situation that you're going through with your significant other, you know, rather than complaining about things. And even if you're by yourself and you find yourself complaining about everything in life, there has to be something good about life. You're breathing every day. You're breathing. There's got to be something good. And, you know, and as you experience that, I can assure you, when you go and you can find reasons to live, find reasons to be alive, and you will begin to start, when you start finding these reasons, and you just, I encourage you, just jot them down. You know, I mean, here, let's go through 10 right quick. You know, a breath of air. Like I'm out here doing my walk right now, and it's like, oh, wow, this is really nice. It's nice to be able to breathe and to live and to feel the energy and the spirit of God, you know, and to look at the beauty of his planet. So just breathing is one. Breathing. And then we can take another look at number two, the beauty. I'm here now. I see what looks to be a quarter moon. A quarter moon. It is beautiful. And it looks like there's a star that might be the Big Dipper. I'm not a science person, so, but it looks like it could be, you know, or the North Star. It is so pretty. And it's not even fully, I mean, the sun, the rays of the sun are still out. So the darkness hasn't completely covered the face of the earth from the area that I'm looking at, but it's still beautiful. So we've got breathing. We've got the beauty of God's planet. And, you know, just the fact that we're not alone. We're not alone. We've got God, you know, knowing that we've got a Father that looks over us, that takes care of us. He's our Father. He's our Mother. He's everything to us. So we've got the breathing. We've got the beauty. We're not alone. We've got a Father and a Mother that looks over us. And then number four, we've got humans that love us. Somewhere, whether you got a significant other that loves you, a spouse, or you got the parent that loves you as a child, you've got the children that love the parent. Somebody loves you out there. So we've got love. Love, they say, is the strongest force in the universe. So that is beautiful. You've got all of these things going for you. You've got all of these things going for you. You know, we're running out of time. We won't even be able to get to the 10. But let me try anyway quickly. So we've got number four we mentioned was the love. And then number five, if you're in a relationship, you got companionship. That is, right there is so important. You can do things together, and I hope that you all are doing things together because that's what keeps the bond and the relationship going, is doing things together. I guess we'll stop at number five right there. And I want you, as you're listening to the sound of my voice, you go after the other five. Think of other five reasons to be alive and to enjoy the beauty of life because it is precious. And you know what? It's not forever on this planet. So, you know, God promises that he gives us 70, those that make it. That's 70 years. And then it's a bonus for those that go beyond. And then we all know that there are people that don't even make it out of their teenage years. So I'm telling you, instead of complaining, this is part two of our program, go back and listen to part one. Listen to this, tell some about it, and I hope that this program has been a blessing to you. If it has been, please tell somebody. And join us on next Tuesday's broadcast for the Dr. Jesse Walker Show from 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Can't catch us then? Join us again next Friday from 8 to 8:30 Eastern Standard Time for your half-hour inspiration program. Until then, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.